Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The International Sugar Organization says that world ethanol production should grow by about 2.8% in 2013 to 84.9 billion liters, with the European Union, India, and Thailand all expected to have record output of the fuel. Ethanol production in the U.S. should fall to 48.8 billion liters this year. The ISO also says that global consumption of ethanol should reach 167 billion liters by 2020, with the U.S. consuming 88 billion and Brazil using 34.6 billion liters. USDA announced that conservation checks are being sent out and commodity payments will start to go out later this week for conservation programs. Commodity and conservation payments were delayed because of the federal shutdown. More than 1.7 million direct payments for the 2013 crop year, totaling roughly $4.8 billion, will start being sent out this Friday, as well as checks for the average crop revenue election program from 2012. USDA has finally given us a new crop progress report. USDA reports that as of October the 20th, 39% of the corn crop is harvested versus 85% last year, and the five-year rolling average of 53%. Soybeans harvested 63% versus 79% last year, and the five-year rolling average of 69%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,361, is up 39 points. The NASDAQ, 3370, up 16. And the S&P 500 is 1744. It's up 6.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The majority of the Midwest is likely to experience a little more precipitation today, but it will be one of the last days that we see that are wet enough to cause a large amount of delay in field progress. This disturbance comes across Iowa. You've probably seen it on radar this morning, but it is moving from Iowa into Ohio over the next 24 to 30 hours or so. And the weather disturbance will produce moisture totals running anywhere from a tenth to around 0.6 inches. The greatest precipitation will be from southeast Iowa into the west central parts of Indiana. The storm system will move very swiftly off to the east and should not have a huge impact that will last for very long. Tomorrow we'll still see some instability showers occurring from the Dakotas through Iowa into parts of the lower eastern Midwest, but it'll be the last day that such conditions will occur in the western Corn Belt, and we'll probably see the last day of precipitation in the eastern areas probably on Thursday. But the precipitation occurs both tomorrow and Thursday will be rather restricted, and we're not anticipating huge volumes of delay taking place across the Midwest because the precipitation that occurs is only going to be sporadic and light. And so we will see some field work advance. Over these next couple of days, the best field progress will likely be in places like Missouri and Kansas, and also in portions of the northwesternmost portion of the Corn Belt as well. But a large high-pressure center will settle into the Midwest as we go from Thursday into Friday. It'll be in the eastern Midwest on Friday into Saturday. In fact, it'll still be prevailing in the eastern areas on into the heart of the weekend. We will expect to see much colder temperatures and dry air coming with this high-pressure system. That is likely to leave us in a position of seeing the season's first freezing temperatures down south into central Missouri and into the northern parts of the Ohio River Valley. The cold is not likely to have a huge impact on crops because most are mature, but it will be a signal that indeed the seasons are changing finally. But with that said, the Arctic Oscillation and the North Atlantic Oscillation is going to be shifting phases as we move forward into November. The phase has been negative for the NAO, and that has been supporting this cooler bias across the eastern portions of the country here recently, and will do so for this next week. But as we go into November, those indices will likely turn positive, and significantly enough that we'll see a warmer bias returning to the middle of the country as well as the eastern states. So this cold shot of air coming up here over this the latter part of this week and into the weekend will be a one-time deal. We'll probably get away from it and see some better weather coming up in November, at least the first part of November. We'll see what happens later in the month. But the contrast in air mass temperatures from the very cold conditions expected late this week and the warm-up that occurs next week is likely to set off a rain event, and perhaps a generalized one at that. And this is being advertised in the model data today and has been off and on for most of this week. The storm system this morning in the GFS model data is exaggerated, and I don't expect it to verify very well, but it has suggested 1 to 3 inch rains from the Delta into the eastern Midwest. In reality, I think we'll probably see 3 to 9/10 of an inch in local amounts to 1.5 inches. I'm probably more conservative than the model is, certainly, and I may have to increase the amount somewhat, but I do think that we'll see rain next week. It's just not going to be as substantial as what the model says that it will be. Our temperatures across the Midwest, I've already mentioned, will be cold enough for freezes across many areas. We'll see the afternoon temperatures in the 40s and 50s in big parts of the Midwest for a little while. But we do warm up this weekend, and into next week we'll get away from all the cold, and we'll likely see our temperatures getting back above average, but not until after the big storm system passes, which will be late next week into the second weekend of the two-week outlook. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red December wheat is 761¾ up a half. March, 761¼ up 3/4. Soft December wheat, 703 up 3¼. March, 712¾ up 3. December corn, 442¼ down 1¾. July, 471 down 1. November soybeans, 1296¼ down 7. July, 1253 down 7½. December soybean meal, 41220 down 350. December soybean oil, 4170 up 6. October live cattle, 130.42½ up 30. October feeders, 165.65 down 17½. And December lean hogs are 88.57½, and they're up 110. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
We had a jobs report out today. What did it do to any of the markets?
Well, the jobs and a bunch of other stuff out this morning. The grains are just an opposite Tuesday, but the outside stuff, bonds are up sharply, the dollar's down, gold is up, and crude is up after being down hard, and the other financials, the Swiss is up, the euro's up, the dollar is down.
U.S. adding 148,000 jobs in September. Yesterday afternoon, we also had, for the first time in quite a while, crop progress, and I'm sure people were looking at those harvest numbers to determine if there was pressure still on the harvest, on the hedge.
Well, we are about caught up to normal on the beans. Bean harvest, and corn were still in the 30s. It varies by areas, but I think the biggest thing was they increased their good to excellent rating due to the good yields, and I think that got things turned around on prices so that we're lower today.
Is the corn market, in your estimation, trying to carve out a bottom at this level?
No, it's just trying to stay here until we get to the November report, and we'll see what the next big numbers are. We went to 32 the other day. We've been hanging around 40 to 48. We haven't been able to get through 47¾ for a long time, and we're just back and forth, waiting to see what the acres will be and what the yields will be on that November report.
So we're marking time and not putting in a constructive sideways bottom action at this
point. There you go. That's what I'd say.
What about the soybeans?
Soybeans, you get over the 13, they can't hold it. They go right back down. In the last 4 weeks, we've had a 63 low, a 61¾ low, I think an 80 low, and then a 70-something low after being in the 13s. We had 13 again 101.5 last night, went right back to 92. Where they'll go, I don't know, but yields, they're talking, if we have a 42.5 yield, which people are thinking could happen, you take that times less acres, and the carryout will go from 150 up to maybe 242. So that is a big factor, is the yield per acre being going up.
Thank you very much, Pete.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, hard red December wheat, 763 and three quarters, up 2.5. Soft December wheat, 702, up 2.25. December corn, 442, down 2. July, 470 and a quarter, down 1.75. November soybeans, 1296.5, down 6.75. July, 1253, down 7.5. December soybean meal, 412.30, down 3.40. December soybean oil, 41.71, up 7. October live cattle, 130.42.5, up 30. October feeder cattle, 165.65, no movement there, down 17.5. And December lean hogs at 88.65, or up 117.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.